podcast for Thursday, 27th of April, 2017. I'm your host, David Hayden, and today joining me by phone is ISIS Senior Editor Leila Landres-Perez. Hello, Leila.
Hi, David. Thanks for having me on the show today.
No problem. Leila covers several markets for ISIS, including South America Energy, biofuels, and oleochemicals, also known as chemicals derived from the fats or oils of animals or plants. Today's podcast will focus on one oleochemical in particular, glycerin. Now, glycerin comes in a few different forms, so Leila, could you give us a quick overview?
Sure. Glycerin is mainly derived from three production streams. So production, oleochemical production, and biodiesel production. And so off of the biodiesel production, they use transesterification, and they produce a byproduct called crude glycerin that comes off the fatty ethyl methyl ester or soy methyl ester production, which is biodiesel. On the soap side, soap production is kind of the classical saponification production line. It's still seen today, although it's not as widespread. And your kind of green chemical side, the oleochemicals, they split fats, animal fats and plant fats, depending on what region you live in, and they produce what they call fatty acids and glycerin off of that fat splitting process.
And what's been happening in the market over the beginning of the new year to up to now?
Well, in the glycerin market in the United States and in South America, we've seen a pretty pronounced tightening. In 2016, we went through what many would call a trough, the lowest values for crude and refined glycerin that we've seen in a long time. And so at the end of 2016, around December, we started hearing about a tightening in the market. And there were numerous reasons for this kind of convergence of tightening and puts us where we are today. We saw a drop-off in imported product, which would be refined vegetable-based glycerin, from Southeast Asia. And what was happening in Southeast Asia is their capacity utilization rates are lower. And so ratcheted back those rates a bit to rationalize what's coming off of the production stream, and mainly for their fatty acids production. But that also had an effect on the glycerin that they were selling and we were importing into the United States. So far, we've seen about a 20% decline year-on-year, according to ITC data, and that's mainly from Indonesia and Malaysia. Pair that with what's gone on in biodiesel in the United States. We have had this is probably the most uncertain the biodiesel market has ever been. It's generally a very politicized market because it survives off of subsidies and tax incentives and government-mandated blend volumes. So it's not, in a sense, a free trading market. And what we've seen is our renewable volume obligations were called into question. Those look to have been cleared, and the mandated RVOs, which are renewable volume obligation numbers, look like they're going to stand. The big argument right now is what is going to happen with the dollar per gallon tax credit, and if that is going to be reinstated, if so, for how long, and if so, if it's going to be a blender's credit or a producer's credit. And that is a big question mark at this point. Argentina, South America, has generally been a prolific supplier of glycerin to the United States as well. They have a huge biodiesel production, and they export what they can to us, among other countries. But what we've seen there is they are operating their biodiesel at about 50% of capacity, and we are not seeing the quality necessarily that we would need in some cases to bring up and use in the, for example, the tech grade tier for refined glycerin. Those are kind of the convergence of things that have gone on recently. In the last week, we've seen some supply disruption out of Europe with some multinational personal care at least one personal care company looking for volumes to bring out of the United States and take over to their production in Europe. It's unsure as to how long they're looking at. They need prompt volumes, but it could stretch longer. That's the question. The European shortage is based, again, off of the lack of crude kosher glycerin. And so that is what has happened. We've seen a pretty sharp tightening up of the market since January. And as a result, we do quarterly pricing for the U.S. glycerin report. And we saw our quarterly pricing increase around 3 to 4 cents per pound for the quarter, which is a huge jump.
Are there any other upcoming trends in the near-term future?
I know Europe and the U.S. market, we will both be watching really closely on the supply side. If there's any outages, that's going to have, could have a sharp effect on the market because we're already stuck. And so anything that would further tighten that could see a quick increase in pricing. Apart from that, we will all be watching what is going to happen with biodiesel, U.S. biodiesel, and Argentine biodiesel. Because if, for example, the U.S. biodiesel turns back on, they are going to be producing much more crude glycerin and kosher crude glycerin. So the lack of the kosher crude glycerin in the U.S. market is what has tightened it up as far as U.S. domestic production. So if we can see some easing on that biodiesel side, then we might see an easing through the entire supply chain.
Thanks for the update, Lila.
Sure, no problem, anytime.
And thanks for listening, everyone. As always, if you're interested in more information on what's happening in the oleochemicals market or any of the other markets that ISIS covers, be sure to visit ISIS.com. And be sure to tune in for our next podcast.